Proverbs for the day, February the 4th, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Of course, we're going through the book of Proverbs, Proverbs for the day, over a year. We're starting that second calendar month of the year. And we come to some statements here, and I want to center our attention from a devotional point of view on this thing of the statement Solomon makes. And I want you to think of Solomon as being one of the miracle children in the Bible. Now, he wasn't a miracle biologically. We know that, of course, the incarnation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was a miracle. But before then, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Lord would touch a woman's womb that was physically, physiologically, biologically incapable of bearing fruit, and he would touch it, and you would consider that a miracle child. Well, Solomon is a miracle child, and Solomon would not be in our Bible and not have the place in our Bible he had were it not for mercy and grace. You see, Solomon would have never been born, not because he had been, say, you know, aborted or miscarried. Solomon would never have been born without mercy and grace of the most abundant kind, because David and Bathsheba, under Old Testament law, would have been dead before Solomon was ever conceived. After the sin that, of course, the world makes much of, and we have learned much from, the sins of David, with Bathsheba, with his murder of Uriah the Hittite. After that, he marries this woman, and the Bible says he loved her, he comforted her, and God gave them another son. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, maybe if you're learning your Bible or trying to get it written on your heart, like one of our devotions this week, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we have, of course, Nathan coming to David after David's great sin and confronting David, and David coming clean. We have, as a result, an amazing writing passage, Psalm 51. And Nathan tells David that this child, 2 Samuel 12:14, shall surely die. David goes and beseeches the Lord, and the child dies. When this child dies, David makes an amazing statement. David says that they asked him, what are you doing? He said, when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. That's a great statement about what happened. So the first boy is safe with God. The first boy passes on. The first boy dies. The second boy, and it's always the second in your Bible, always, it's Abel and not Cain. After Abel's guilt, it's Seth and not Cain. It's always Jacob and not Esau. You know, I mean, you can just go right on down through the whole list. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. And this second child, he makes a statement about how he was raised, about his relationship with his mother, and it's significant. He said, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He had the security of acceptance. He was set aside to be on the throne. In 2 Samuel 12, they name him Solomon. But the Lord names him Jedidiah. Jedidiah, beloved of Jehovah. Jedidiah. Now that's significant. And so we understand that the Lord is showing his incredible mercy and grace. This is a miracle child. You say, well, what happened with Solomon? Well, there is a pitfall in the wrong kind of security. We'll notice that, obviously. Have you not noticed today that a lot of young people who get saved in church and they understand eternal security and they have a hold of it, that they live a presumptuous life? You know, David said, "Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sins." And Solomon did that. Solomon had security without restraint. Solomon fell in his loves during a time of peace. And so we are, Ephesians 1, accepted in the Beloved, and it's a widely taught doctrine today, and it needs to be taught. We do not get people to follow God, do the right things of God, even do the work of God by the wrong kind of motivation. But we should beware in a time of peace. And in the Western world, we live in a relative time of peace. There are places you could go today that just because you're a Christian, and if you say the things of a Christian, you're not going to be at peace. In fact, you could be dead in a matter of hours. Now, my point is, in your life, God does a miracle all the time. For example, your second birth is a miracle. Your second birth is not a doctrinal statement. When we speak of receiving Jesus Christ and coming to Him and getting saved, we need to make it what it is. It's a new birth. It's all those things combined, and one of those descriptions is a new birth. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We need to treat it like a miracle. I'm very burdened today. We have a kind of Christianity that literally is in the head. In this sense, it's all doctrine. And it doesn't combine doctrine with practice and experience. Combine it. We do not start our Christianity on experience. We do not base it on experience. But a doctrine without experience is dead as a hammer. And so I would adjure you today, think of Solomon as the miracle son of mercy and grace miracle. Look back on your own Christian life. Look at your life today and realize my life is a life. It's a miracle. He gave me a new birth. That's a miracle. I'm a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And now what I want to do is have Him live through me. Listen, we need revival. We need sometimes to get under conviction of sin or get our cooling hearts heated up. But the maintenance of it, maintaining it, is why we do Proverbs for the Day. The maintaining of it is why we get in our Bible. The maintaining of it. You will not walk with Christ trying to maintain a fever pitch of what we have when God gives us an awakening or a time of revival. The Christian life is lived plodding along in the valley. The Christian life is lived like a sheep and like a sheepdog. And so we must maintain our miracle understanding of God.